Okay. Hi, this is Rachel Vadine. It is 6:37 on November 14th. We are beginning our meeting, EDC. This is Rachel Vadine, chair. We'll just go around the room.
Drew Hansen.
Shannon Knight, member.
Eva Pepper, staff.
Stephanie Slyman with Harper Hoff Peterson Realis, presenting tonight on the proposed sidewalk cafe program.
Good. Jennifer Arnold, staff. Great, thank you. We do have Mark, Jim, and Russell, and Matt absent for this evening. We do not have a quorum, just for the record. We'll go ahead and take a minute, review the agenda. Just as a reminder, any public citizens here tonight will need to keep their comments to the public comment section and are not for continual conversation. So we'll just go ahead and take a review. Everyone has that in front of them. Does everyone have?
I think anyone
does. I don't know which file it is.
So 3 minutes.
Agenda. Okay.
And then this is last year's annual report.
The agenda looks fine to me.
Looks fine to me.
Okay.
I was told that because I had emailed Darren and asked that I didn't see nomination of a vice chair on this agenda that we had talked about last month, and he said that they decided to table it until the first of the year when you're supposed to make any nominations anyways. But I'll just throw that out there.
Okay. I did not get that information, but that probably makes sense since and since I'm going to add to that is that Shannon, Mark, who is absent, myself, all need to reapply. Shannon, sounds like you already have applied. But anyways, even though Mark was currently a new appointment, he still needs to apply given he was kind of a fill in the gap.
Yeah. And the council wants to appoint on the 9th, so we recommend doing it really, really soon.
January 9th?
December
9th. Okay. That's good to know.
So, when you get home or this weekend, reapply if you're interested.
Perfect. Great. Keisha, welcome. I see you're here. Do you have a comment for us?
Yeah, actually.
Non-agenda item?
So, Keisha, citizen, and I'm bringing some information. I'm also on the Westland Alliance for Inclusiveness, and we have a meeting on November 20th at 6:30 at the Westland Lutheran Church. What we're looking at is diversity, inclusion, and how it looks in the housing market in Westland. And so we definitely would like to invite any of you guys to come to that. If any of you want to speak at that as well, here's some information about it.
Oh, okay.
It's about 10 minutes per person, mm-hmm. whoever wants to come in and talk about it. We're going to be looking at House Bill 2001 and going over how that equity lens of inclusion and affordability looks in Westland, and possibly bringing some commissioners and some city council members will be there as well.
Oh, good.
To bring a little bit more feedback to us as well. And this is a continued dialogue from our September meeting that we had. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we definitely want to encourage you guys to come.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a very important topic. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so November 20th. And remind me again, where's that? The
Westland Lutheran Church.
Westland Lutheran Church. Perfect. Thank you. Great. Well, that will conclude our public comment. We don't have anyone else. We'll just go ahead and move through the approval. Well, the approval of the minutes, we can't really do that, so we're going to need to just table.
We can.
Oh, that's the part?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we said.
The approval of the meeting notes, even with the three of us, because I...
Yeah, so she was saying that it's The actual public record is the recording.
So well, one of them, you're absent. Them so that would just be the two of us. Okay.
So it really doesn't matter. She said you just need one person to say they were right. It's basically.
And then we'll just take draft off and put them on the website. And
so the only thing I had, though, I mean, I don't know if you want to go in order.
It doesn't matter. I'm looking at September 12th right now myself.
Okay, I'm looking at last month's, and it has Jules here, but I feel like Jules was not here.
Jules was not here. Okay. Oh, well, that actually September she was. This October she was not.
I'm looking at October. It says she was here.
Oh, do I? Where are October? Okay, here. Is this? Thank you. She was not here. And nor were you. You were here in October. Yes, I guess. Okay, just trying to make sure. Okay, yes, she was not here. Okay.
I will add your last name from the sign-in sheet on the meeting notes.
They look fine to me.
Okay. Yeah, I think everything else looked fine for me.
Okay. We'll just move along to September 12th. Notes.
And those looked fine to me, too. I read them when I got here early, so.
July 11th.
I wasn't here for that, so I can't comment.
Just stimulating some thought. Jennifer, will you be our liaison moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, July is a long ways back, so make the assumption, yes. Okay. Okay. Welcome, engineering team. So we'll just go ahead and give you the floor now.
So we're here tonight just to do a check-in from the last meeting in September. Just to make sure that we are hearing the community groups as we move forward to actual code language. So tonight is really just a check-in to make sure what we heard from your group and the Willamette Main Street group is what we're moving forward for a program for sidewalk cafes. We heard the street use program was desired to be tabled for right now, and that was, Stephanie will get into that, but that's going to be tabled for right now. So really this is a check-in for moving forward with actual text language that I will be bringing back to you guys in December for municipal code updates before we go to the council in January, likely, or February, depending on their schedule.
Okay.
So, kind of where we're here. So, Stephanie, take it away.
Thank you. Again, I'm Stephanie Slyman with Harper Hoff Peterson Regellis, and I'll step through the draft program that's incorporating input that we heard from your group in September and the Willamette Main Street group in late August. And also we've been working with planning staff and engineering staff to incorporate technical considerations as well.
May I interject? Have you guys gone to the Transportation Advisory Board as well to make a presentation as well? I know that because this has been a hot topic in that group as well.
The street use or just the...
The overall, you know, the parking, the street use, the whole...
We haven't talked to them about the sidewalk cafe program as far as a program itself. I know Lance has had lots of discussions with just the design of the project itself. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of an offshoot of once all the sidewalk and all the improvements are in, how do we use that space?
Okay. I'm a part of that group, so it might be something I'd like to encourage and welcome that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you let us know if there's something, as we're talking about the overarching like program, if you think we're way off board on where we're going with that. I think I'm okay moving forward with taking the actual code language to them, because I think I've heard the same thing from this group and the Main Street group, pretty much in alignment about the program elements, but we can definitely reach out once we have more concrete language with the code and for that group
Sounds
as
good.
Well.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. So tonight we'll give you an update on the street seat program and then the proposed sidewalk cafe. As Amy mentioned, the feedback we received from both groups was the street seats idea, which again, here's a picture showing it's using actual parking spaces for outdoor seating. People were not necessarily opposed to it, but there are a lot of considerations, particularly the loss of on-street parking and other design considerations, and the fact that the city is now looking at a sidewalk cafe program, wanting to see first how maybe that demand can be met with the sidewalk cafe before really looking at then capturing additional space out, you know, basically in the street with the sidewalks. And so our recommendation, and we worked with Amy and Lance, is to table that for now. And maybe once the sidewalk cafe program rolls out and you see what the demand is, maybe the city could do a pilot project in a few key places. Mm-hmm. And then you as a community could see, is this something you really want? Does it work? Is it worth developing a program for?
Okay.
So that's where that is for now.
All right.
So tonight we want to talk to you about all of the input we did hear about the sidewalk cafes. And here is an image again. It's the use of the sidewalk itself. And it allows business owners to use that sidewalk space in front of their business for dining and beverage services and retail services. We heard from Main Street Group in August, you in September, and as I mentioned, we've been working with Public Works and Planning as an ongoing process. So what I'd like to do, this presentation follows the format of the questions we posed last time. So why don't I step through all of the slides to give everyone an overview, and then we can go back and maybe talk about individual questions you might have, because some questions you might have might be answered later. So the first question was what, and we heard last time, yes, people want food service, beverage, alcohol service, and retail sales should be allowed in that right-of-way. And so our proposal is to allow those things. We also talked about and heard from you not creating too onerous of a program or maybe having some exemptions for small businesses or certain uses. So the language we're drafting right now would exempt from the permit requirement retail sales and service, seating areas for up to four. So if you have a really small operation, you just want to have two tops out in front. Or if there's temporary community-sponsored events like the Wine Walk or other events that people don't need to get permits for that. Provided that at all times the ADA access is maintained, a minimum 5 feet wide access is maintained on the sidewalk. That was really a key theme we heard from both groups last time. Mm-hmm. We've got to keep that clear for people to navigate. Mm-hmm. It's the law, and it's just,
right.
It's just a good idea. And so we've created these exemptions for the program.
Okay.
Secondly, you know, where should these uses and activities occur? We heard in front of your own business, plus if the property next door to you, that business, doesn't use their sidewalk, you can approach them about using that space. And so with their permission, you can even extend your sidewalk cafe into an adjacent space. And then if you are on a corner lot, you could use both frontages. And again, the locational standards would be that 5 foot wide minimum clear zone, a 2 foot clear zone around any physical structures like fire hydrants, newspaper boxes, or bike racks, so that there's enough clearance, and especially by bus stops, so that if you're trying to wait for your bus, there's not someone sitting right there. And of course, no tripping hazards or low-hanging structures that would otherwise impede the right-of-way.
Okay. I'm going to just stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
Matt has joined us, so we now have a quorum.
Apologies.
The other question we pose is who can participate in the program, and then who should review and approve a permit to participate. So this is consistent, I think, what we talked about last time, but the businesses in the commercial and mixed-use zones with frontage on city streets. So Highway 43 is an ODOT facility, so that would not be eligible because of ODOT permitting. So provided that you have a current business license, if you're serving alcohol, you have a valid OLCC permit for outdoor sale and service. You have liability insurance and or have acknowledged that you are liable for anything that happens on the sidewalk. It's already in the municipal code. And then if you are not the actual property owner, you know, you're a tenant leasing space, that you do get the underlying property owner's permission. Again, that ties back to liability. And then in terms of reviewing and approving, this would come out of the planning, the development code, and would now be administered through Public Works as a simple permit, similar to a right-of-way permit. And when we come back through, maybe Amy can describe that a bit. And it would be the city engineer who would have the ultimate authority to approve that permit. Duration, how long should the use of right-of-way be allowed? Unanimously, everyone thought a one-year permit with annual renewal seems to be the right length of time. And so we've created a system for that. And then recognizing that if you have an existing permit, let's make it simple to renew. Basically, if you're not changing what you've done, what your approved sidewalk cafe is, with some minor changes, will be allowed. All your licenses and insurance are valid, and you do not have any active nuisance code violations going, then a simple renewal. Aesthetic standards came up. We had talked about should there be standards, which are requirements, or guidelines, which are suggestions. Everyone seemed to land more on the side of guidelines. So the program does not prescribe certain materials, but it does say that you should be using materials such as durable materials, durable plastic, metal, wood, treated wood. And then the types of furnishings and accessories are outlined as a guideline: tables, chairs, benches, umbrellas, outdoor heaters, outdoor lighting. Those are all the types of things that would fall under the sidewalk cafe permit. And then related to that, a maintenance requirement. We'll talk more about maintenance in a minute, but that the sidewalk cafe furnishings are maintained in good repair, which is a standard term. So there is something the city is used to enforcing. So that's a way of keeping shoddy things out of the right-of-way. A fee. So this is something we talked about a lot with both groups. Should there be a fee to apply for the program and use the right-of-way? We heard a few things, anything from a low fee, making sure it's not an impediment, to perhaps charging based on square footage. In the end, we've landed on a fee that would be based on really just the cost of administering the permit. The city does have a cost recovery policy that any permit needs to recover its cost. Mm-hmm. It would be comparable to other public works permit fees, and again, the renewal fee would be less than a permit fee because it would be a much simpler process. But I think the main takeaway from this is that the fee should not create a barrier to participation, so trying to find that right point. Other items, we had a blanket question, what else should be included? This is where maintenance came up, and especially the Main Street group feels really strongly, certain people, about landscaping, making sure there are not dead plants out there. So as mentioned before, the sidewalk cafe furnishings maintained in good repair, landscaping and plant material need to be maintained, proper waste collection disposal, not just within your own sidewalk cafe area, but if it's blowing onto other properties, that's your obligation to clean up, and of course maintaining that clear pedestrian zone. And then the city already has in the municipal code the Class A violation section 5.400, that when there are violations, there's an existing mechanism for the city to enforce the program. And so here's just a high-level overview of how we see the program being administered. new applications, business submits the fee and application materials. We've moved away from a business needing to prepare a site plan because that's can be onerous, and as Amy mentioned, a lot of times they just aren't very good anyway. So, you know, a layperson's not going to do a dimension site plan. They're not going to hire someone to do that. So the application form would have a place for folks to describe at least what they're doing. We're going to have, you know, two picnic tables are going to be set on the outside of the sidewalk and, you know, seat this many people. And then as part of it, the city would review the application and then give a tentative approval. Yes, this sounds good. You know, you're going to be maintaining your 5 feet of ADA clearance. Give a tentative approval, or maybe say, no, this doesn't work, you know, or make maybe tentative approval with some conditions. You know, you need to move, there's a driveway here. You need to be at least 2 feet from that driveway. So then the city would give the business owner the okay, go ahead and install. So they'd set up their sidewalk cafe. City would come out then inspect and say, yep, you're meeting it here, or this needs to scoot over there, and then the sidewalk cafe permit would be issued. And then for renewals, as I mentioned, would be resubmitting the application, just demonstrating all of your licenses are current, you're not subject to any current nuisance violations, and then you would then get your renewal. So that is the program overall. So if we want, we can just go back to the start and I'll just pull up slides, and if you have questions or comments, I'll take notes on my hard copy, and as Amy mentioned, we're going to then refine it and start developing that code language that she'll bring back to you in December. So on the what, any thoughts on this?
I guess on the renewal process, or even just the licensing, is there a threshold of violations where the license could be revoked?
During the actual code part of it, right?
Like if there's multiple inspections that happen over a period of time and they find violations time after time and they're just not adhering to the code or the standards that have been outlined, what's the threshold when their license is revoked and they can no longer use that space?
That's a good question. I guess we need to dive into more. What does the current municipal code say about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd have to look at that, and we can kind of craft some language around that.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. Right.
Is there some direction that you'd like to provide to us on when we should say, you know what, you're really not getting with the program?
No, I would just say look at the code, the current code, and kind of go off of that.
I mean, they definitely, I think, wouldn't get a renewal because the renewal process says you have no violations, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
but during the current year, is there a way to take away?
I think that begs the question then: is who is monitoring this throughout the year? Because it doesn't seem like we have a dedicated person nor funds to be doing this. And what is it going to be complaining?
It's probably neighboring business owners, like everything else.
I mean, if they have a beef with you personally, then they're going to complain. So, I mean, it seems a little subjective. It's a kind of a tender spot, I would imagine, that, you know, we could be venturing into.
Well, the city has a new code enforcement officer who I'm assuming would be the person
that would be enforcing it.
And I'm sure it would be complaint-driven that if someone complains about it, then he goes out and looks. But I don't think he's walking the street every so often and checking to see if the 5 foot clearance is made. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be complaint driven, which is how most of our code is now. It's all complaint driven. We don't enforce any code unless someone complains about it, basically.
Do the exemptions seem reasonable? Is there anything else that we might consider?
Would the corner church fall under retail?
If they're in a commercial or mixed use zone and they wanted to, and they had the ability to have food and beverage service as part of whatever their business license allows, I guess, presumably, yes.
Is there something they put out on the sidewalk other than signs that I've heard about that? Because I think they have some seating.
They have a bench, I think, on the side.
There's a bench there, but yeah.
Is the seating up to four kind of the concern? Should it be more?
No concern. I was just curious where they would fall in under this. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be anywhere in the zone. So it doesn't matter what business you are. It's if you're in the zone.
In the zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess my thought is in seating, just for the sake of seating, if you're not providing beverage or food services, you wouldn't. It's not part of the program.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think I asked you guys to add that seating for wherever or whatever, because there's people like this hair salon that has a table out there that they go and sit and smoke and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't want them to pay a fee to have that seat out there. So that's why I asked for something like that to be added.
Yeah. And I guess since the purpose, the definition is, you know, the sidewalk cafe is for dining use, essentially. If it's not dining use, then it's just not subject to the program.
Is 3 feet enough to get a table for four in?
Two tops you could do. In fact, let's have a great picture.
So the new sidewalks going in are going to be 12 feet?
12, yes.
So with that five... There's that picture. What is that math?
Yeah, seven. I came across... I came across this...
So that would make it like 3.5, I guess, that you'd have to fit on each side if you wanted to do it on each side.
So for the idea is for something like this, if you just wanted to have a simple something tucked in next to your building...
Yeah.
Oh, that's very, very
but you couldn't
little.
Go. You couldn't go too wide. It's only three feet is only enough.
Well,
for
Lance
one seat.
Told me with the streetscape, because I've been arguing with Lance on the sidewalk with for months, and he has promised me that the sidewalk is wide enough for 2 4-tops and the ADA aisle. So if it's not, I'm going to be really mad.
2 4-tops.
So I guess I would poke at that 3 feet. limit that seems awfully constrictive, considering there's going to be a 12-foot sidewalk.
That's to be exempt.
Yeah, this is for exemptions. That you
sorry, I didn't read the heading. Yeah. I just saw the bullet.
Oh, yeah. Right, that would have
exempt
sounded terrible.
Exempt from program requirements.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So these, right. It's
apologies. I should have read the, the bullet on top. Okay.
Yes. Good. Well, I'm glad we've cleared that up.
This is allowed without...
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize.
And so, like, the coffee shop, for instance, I think has just the two tables out there right now with two seats on each, so they would be exempt from that.
Mm-hmm. But once you want to go past 3 feet,
once you start
now you've got to apply.
Adding a lot. And
makes perfect sense.
Serving alcohol and making money out there, you should pay a little bit for it.
Okay. Any thoughts about, I guess... The uses, you know, it is pretty straightforward. Everyone good with the thought that you, if the adjacent property owner business agrees, you could expand to that sidewalk area with your sidewalk cafe?
Yes.
Okay. I think the 5-foot ADA is non-negotiable. 2-foot clear zone also, and tripping hazards and low overhanging structures.
So for that, we had I'll let everybody else know, because we already had this presentation at Main Street
last week.
So that requirement has to do with, like, umbrellas. So umbrellas would have to be tall enough for whatever the ADA says it has to be tall enough if it's in the over that 5-foot zone.
Well,
right?
Actually, for that 5-foot zone, the way you have it written,
it can't be anything.
You can't have any structure over it. So basically, you can't make people walk under your tent, even though you have a 5-foot clearance zone. The only thing that can cross over would be if you have lights that are strung across.
And awnings that are already there. Right.
But you can't be putting something. And then if you're in, let's say you're in your rectangular, you know, approved area for the cafe, if your umbrella in there is lower, that's, you know, however you want to set it up in there is kind of your call. But once you're out of that in the 5-foot ADA, the minimum 5-foot ADA area, you can't have things that are lower. And you also can't have tripping hazards across the sidewalk or the ADA area. Again, the big deal is just do not block the sidewalk. The program requirements, do these seem reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Have to have a business license, OLCC permit, liability insurance, or as I mentioned, we're going to work on that language a little bit, and of course the property owner approval. Amy, you want to talk a little bit about the public works permit, like the right-of-way permit, how that works and how this is kind of comparable then?
Sure. This would be viewed as a very simple right-of-way permit currently for any work in the right-of-way. For franchise utilities or private property owners or contractors that work in the right-of-way, we require a permit, and we have a 3 to 5 day turnaround on those permits. And right now for the public works permits, it's a 90-day flat fee plus a $500 deposit. And against the deposit, we bill inspections. Typically, the fee ends up for the full public works permit about $200. Now, we don't envision this being that big of a permit, but comparable, you could think probably less than $200 for a fee is what we're thinking to recoup the cost of the program. We're not thinking this takes a full staff person to do these permits or anything like that. This will just be one more type of permit that we'd be processing.
All right.
And I guess our insurance guy is not here, but as far as liability insurance, I would have to name the city as like additional insured or something like that.
Yeah, we're looking at that language of how strict we want to see actual insurance policies. It gets more complicated when insurance policies get submitted and then we're reviewing them and then we're sending them to legal for review, or do we just want to have somebody check a box that recognizes that they're liable and that says that they have liability insurance that meets these parameters. So we're trying to find a fine balance between those two things.
Mm-hmm. Right, and as mentioned, the code already has in the sidewalk section that the property owner is liable for anything that happens in the sidewalk.
So
okay.
It's not something new. It's just would be requiring the actual liability insurance that's a little bit maybe above and beyond, especially if it's a business that's not the property owner that may be using that space right now. The property owner may not be aware that they're liable for anything that happens in that space if somebody gets hurt.
So then how are you going to do the property owner approval?
They need to sign the application.
Yeah, it'd be similar to a land use application where the property owner has to sign.
The 1 year annual permit with renewal
seems very reasonable.
Going with guidelines, not standards. That seemed, I guess, last week at the Main Street group, that seemed to be, I think they had the most thoughts about it between the two groups when we reached out the first time. Again, you know, not trying to be overly prescriptive, you know, the businesses, you know. I think they should know it works for their business. At the
Certainly.
Point, it doesn't meet some basic maintenance and aesthetic standards, then the city can regulate that. The fee we talked about. And then I guess, you know, really making sure that there's these maintenance requirements in the program that are stated. And I think we boiled it down to the things that matter the most, right? Furnishings and good repair, landscape, waste collection, and clear pedestrian zone. And then we will follow up on the violations. Maybe if there's a threshold or incorporate into the program at a certain point, do you just lose your permit as opposed to when it comes up for renewal, you just don't renew, right? So if there's any businesses like that that don't play well with others. And, okay, and then the renewal and the new application renewal process. So,
Since most of the businesses already have seating out there, how is this going to be? How are they going to be aware? Is there going to be outreach to them that they need to go through this process?
There will be outreach. Yeah, the intent is, and speaking with Lance, since a portion of their sidewalks will be under construction, and that's the reason we're going to construction early in the season to try to avoid the summer rush time for them, that they will be losing that seating, and that's the time when we'll roll out this program and remind them that they need to be.
Before they put their seating back, they
before
got to get
the, yeah. Because I think right now, even though we do have a permitting program that does identify that they have to have this ADA clear space, people don't have permits and they're not complying with the standards. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time to just refresh everybody on what the rules are and why we have those rules and what the path forward is.
And our schedule, we're hoping to have the program adopted with code language by March, the latest, maybe February. Yeah. And so then that would give folks time Do you know how much awareness there is by local businesses that this program is being developed?
I don't think any of them know.
Okay.
They're going to be so excited.
They probably don't realize
they have done a permit right now. Well, I think the Cider House, right, is the only one that has a permit.
Yeah.
Oh, that they got through planning, right, as part of their land use decision?
Yeah, I think it was part of that. Yeah. Because I don't think we did a separate process.
Any other thoughts for the tweaking the program?
And we couldn't come up with anybody else, right, that this would be affecting in the city right now?
Not at the moment.
It's written generic enough, so if this group moves forward with rezoning along Highway 43 on some of those side streets that maybe have a wide enough sidewalk, an 8-foot sidewalk or something like that, there would be some, likely they would meet the exemptions, but there would be possibly some opportunities if we also promote a wider sidewalk in those areas.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. So just to recap, you will be back in December to talk about language. Okay. Yeah,
with actual code language.
Code language. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking at a new section of the code. We're not looking at a lot of... We looked at a lot of different sections of the code to see... What needs to be updated? Should we change this section? But I think we're moving with, let's just have a small section just related to sidewalk cafes, likely under the business section of the municipal code.
Okay, wonderful.
It helps applicants too, right? The business, you don't have to hunt and peck through the code to see what applies. It's in one place for you.
Good, good. Thank you for the presentation. Good to see both of you again, and we'll see
appreciate
you next month then. Yes. In a few weeks.
Thank you.
Oh, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll just go ahead and move on. Everyone has gotten a last year's annual report. Jennifer, I'm conversation with Darren and John. You will be writing this and composing it for us just to keep consistent in the years past. So this is due next month. Next month will be a big meeting for us because we'll have engineering back and then we'll also have to go through the annual review. We can touch on it tonight, of course, but seemingly more of a dedicated time and then submit it.
So the regular scheduled EDC meeting next month is the same night as the Waterfront open house. And I know that you guys had Waterfront stuff as one of your goals, so we were hoping that if you wanted to have a meeting in December, maybe we could do a special meeting on a different date.
Then
you guys would be able to attend that open house. Also, there's a staffing crunch because we all have to be at that open house. So there would be engineering basically holding court for you guys in the meeting.
So it's scheduled December 12th. And when are you proposing?
I was leaving that up to you guys. If you guys wanted a special meeting in December, we can also do the annual report, send out, like, discuss some things that you wanted to add. I can type it up, send it out in an email. If everybody is good with it, we can pass it on to council. And if you didn't want to have a meeting in December, you didn't have to have a meeting in December. They wanted to have some sort of presentation. We could also just invite you to another meeting where they're giving that presentation. To have, like, a joint meeting.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Not necessarily intruding into Main Street's meeting, but we could hold, a variety of options.
Okay. How does the group feel about this?
The joint presentation. The presentation sounds good.
So are you in favor of no meeting then in December and just getting her our feedback on the annual report, or?
I could go either way.
Okay.
I don't know either way. It doesn't matter. I'm hearing that report in Main Street.
We could just combine that and just be efficient with time. But
our meeting when they're presenting is December 9th, is Monday, December 9th at 5:30, if that is the part that you guys needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that seems to be easy to facilitate. Matt, what's your opinion on this? And then, I mean, I guess the big component is really the annual report then.
Yeah, I don't have strong feelings either way. If there's a way to avoid a meeting in December, December is always crazy for everyone.
Right?
Most boards try to not meet in December just because it seems like you're either the first week of December or the third week of December, and then you run into vacation time issues. Okay.
So that would mean... It's
conflict in
general. Yeah.
Our next meeting then would be January 9th, which is right after the holidays. A little bit, you know, we'll get back into the swing of things. I think... I am not certain when schools start, if they start January 6th or January 13th. I know last year it was a little wonky and long into the year.
That's weird.
Can you take a peek? Yeah, it was a long time last year.
Go back to school.
Well, not so much that, but I split it with their dad. And so I was like, when are they coming home?
School starts back, for whatever reason, on Tuesday the 7th, but there's no school on Monday the 6th.
Oh, okay. So if everybody, I mean, we could seemingly then be all ready to go and back in the swing of things January 9th. Does that feel good? So
that works, yeah.
All right. So does somebody want a motion?
Motion.
Motion to move it to so we're all voting, yeah.
So the annual report has to be turned in December. So
right.
If we work on that tonight and get that done, then the responsibilities for you guys are good to go, and then just no meeting in December other than being invited to another joint meeting where they're going to present this.
Okay. So basically we just have to get it grinded out tonight then, folks.
Yeah. I mean, and you could still workshop it in email too, as long as we're doing the just reply to Jennifer with your comments kind of thing.
Yeah.
True. True.
I can just blind copy all of you guys, and then when you reply, you're only replying to me, so you wouldn't have issues of quorum issues.
Right. Okay.
Things. Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Okay, so do we want to then just take a browse at this then? Let's take a browse at it and just take a first pass at it.
So I was saying earlier, before we got here, I feel like we didn't do anything this year. Like last year we had some really recognizable goals. I'm like, what did we do this year?
It's because we were working on this plan.
We created this plan in September. And then didn't do anything at the plan.
Yeah, this was kind of, we changed, you know, city liaisons, and you're our third one. Welcome.
Yes.
Yep.
You're a third one. We've also had somebody else step in. So, I mean, it, you know, for a short time. So, we've gone through some change.
Yeah. We were all planners were fighting over which committee we were going to get, and we were fighting over this one the most.
Everyone wanted to be with us.
And you won. Good job.
Feel special. Yeah.
Okay. This is the first time I've seen this.
But I feel like...
Probably did this earlier in the year.
Let's take a look at this. Look how small the writing is, and it's on a small amount of pages that I feel like in the times past, it's been like you've had a booklet.
As I think, because I think John used to print it, landscape.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think...
So that's why the print was a lot of like...
It's been pared down, and I think that was one of our things this year, was that it was like, let's pick a few, you know, 3 to 5 things max of what we can do and what we can do tangibly and at least start to take a bite out of. This is kind of a big, overwhelming... Mm-hmm. task list.
And council has prioritized the request for Highway 43 rezoning in that corridor. So that's actually a docket prioritized item now. And we are thinking that's the project that you guys should focus on. But it's up
for 2020?
Yeah, as far as the goals, right? Because we have to have goals.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for a little bit more guidance from council about what the scope of work's going to look like, and if they want a separate subcommittee to discuss that, the change in the zone and what it would look like and how far it would go into the neighborhoods and that sort of thing. So we're still waiting for a little bit more information, but in general, if that's a project that you guys are still interested in doing, then
I would recommend that that would be a priority for your goals for 2020.
Yeah.
And then continued work with the Sidewalk Cafe program, because that won't be done until the beginning of next year. And continued involvement with the waterfront project. So we'll continue to have Darren come in and present the updates. And then we do have two open houses scheduled in December, one on the 10th and one on the 12th.
Okay. And wasn't something, correct me if I'm wrong, the neighborhood nodes, and that was a topic that came up a couple of months ago. Last month, if I recall, there was conversation over having what that language might actually look like to determine, you know, a particular node or the code and zoning is involved in that. And so, is that not been inclusive to this, or, you know,
I don't know to Darren, a lot about that, but we can add that. I just know the couple things that I had noted about wanting to work
okay.
with you guys on. I don't know about the neighborhood notes part.
Okay.
I think that there was some discussion about updating neighborhood plans, but I don't think that's what you guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm. No, it was. We didn't really get into it, but the high-level discussion that was lobbed out there was that maybe planning staff could carve out some time to look at either stretches of road or intersections in the city, primarily within neighborhoods that lend themselves toward very limited neighborhood-oriented commercial use.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's what we discussed last month.
Okay. Yeah, we did discuss it last month, and, you know, and what that might look like, and there was a lot of conversation, and we didn't really know the language, you know, and then by that, the definition even of what it would really look like, and they had pulled up a particular area, you know, up here, I think, near where you are.
Oh, I just mentioned the Sunset Market. Right,
yeah,
so this little
yeah that's what we talked about last
time. And then there was the house that's over there too. And remember, we had the conversation. Yeah. What would that look like as a kind of a quaint bakery or quaint cafe kind of thing? Versus if they, you know, remember if they what the zoning and coding would be if they could come in and tear it down and build something different. And does it revert back to the original code? So I anticipated I forgot, was it Chris that came last time? Him returning and having some coder Darren or some language on that, but I certainly think that's something that we should continue to follow up. That it is something that
rezoning 43, it could be all part of that.
Well, it
package.
Seems something yeah. that's tangible especially that actually makes a difference in the neighborhood where 43 is a little bit out, the waterfront's a little bit out, the sidewalk is right now, it's you know, coming to fruition. I think the neighborhood note thing seems like something we could implement.
We will be working on Highway 43 January, February, March, April time frame.
Okay.
So that is a quick...
Yeah, council wants us to... So like, council is prioritizing that for us. But if we're looking at all of the allowed uses, is basically you're going to be looking at allowed uses or what zoning you're actually going to call. I mean, I don't know if you're just going to create a new zone, or you want us to use the neighborhood commercials, because that was, or you just use the mixed use and expand it?
Like, I was told mixed use, neighborhood commercial, but not necessarily the wording that's in the Willamette mixed use zone, but kind of creating a new mixed use.
A new mixed use zone. Okay.
Carry on throughout the Highway 43 corridor, and then maybe even throughout the waterfront where they want to do some more mixed use stuff.
And I had told Darren on the phone, and, you know, while the language is, the scaffolding of the language is probably already there, and if we're to do something brand new, to, like, have some ideas to bring to us so that we're not sort of spinning our wheels, so to speak.
We can bring what other cities and stuff have for that.
So with the pocket neighborhood zoning that Matt's referring to, we were looking at that neighborhood commercial zone, which is that only that property at the end dollar.
Yeah.
So that's what we were thinking of expanding properties that would go into that zoning, and then expanding what allowed uses were in that zoning, because I think there's only like two things too in that zoning that are
the one up here and the
permitted
down
outright.
And I think a big conversation piece was, does it revert back, you know, You.
Oh, we talked about whether
that was a big comment.
Yeah, it grandfathered it because we were worried about if you know, it's changed use. So it's grandfathered in. So if it's, you know, residential now, but then changed to be a business, usually it means it can't change back to residential, right? So we were talking about allowing it to change back to residential.
Well, too. And I think we were also concerned that if a builder comes in and bulldozes down, you know, this seemingly small, quaint, home-like entity, and then they build a big business, what does that look like? I mean, I felt like there was a lot of conversation over that. So it does need to be addressed on what that looks like.
Okay. But we thought that mostly for the neighborhood commercial part of it. Because I feel like if we even look at that property on Dollar where she was a business, but then the street got closed, and so she had to become residential, but she technically probably...
She legally could run a neighborhood business.
Could, yeah.
Not that anyone is really going back there unless you live there, but...
Right.
Or want to go to the park, but that's...
Well, you know, if the school goes in there now, that might be a need for a business.
We're talking about the vineyard down by the bridge?
No, it's the end property at the end of Dollar. So she used to have a really cool cafe and coffee shop and nursery, and she used to have concerts on the park right there on the Tualatin.
Really?
It was really great, great venue. And then when they redid that bridge by Fieldsburg Park, they cut off the road. So that road used to go through.
Okay.
And then when they... redid that bridge, they cut off her access, so the road dead ends now, and so that no one was going back there because it was a dead end.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the only parcel of neighborhood commercial in the city. We get a lot of inquiries all the time about rezoning it, but nobody's come in with any.
She does not want to rezone it. I just met with her
yeah.
a couple weeks ago over the whole school district stuff, so she has no interest in rezoning
it. Yeah, it was a lot of people are calling saying, well, you know, if we put in an offer, we want to do this and that, and so we don't even know if it's an active listing. We just answer the phone.
No, she's not in the, she's not selling right now or anytime soon. And she's leaving it for her daughter, so she doesn't envision herself it's selling for a long time. And
good,
but she likes having the option of having a business, especially if the school goes in and stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had some questions as to whether or not you guys wanted to be involved in the ADU regulations that are going to change. Council prioritized us to reword the ADU chapter and talk about accessory dwelling units, and mostly the reason you guys would theoretically be involved is because we would be tying in the short-term and long-term rental section that we currently don't have written up in the code, but it's like a policy decision. So we're going to codify
that. So
like
Airbnb
that.
Stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that
so if you guys want to
be
involved
aware
in.
Of
Okay. And then... the other thing that came up in a staff meeting was the gas station on Willamette Falls Drive.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money out there for brownfield cleanup, and depending on who owns the property, whether it's a private person partnering with the city or if a city owned it or some other municipality owned it, how, like, where the money comes from, it changes depending on if it's public or private. But if you guys were interested in possibly, like, through this summer after the property gets settled, because
she's in foreclosure now.
Her and her attorney, I guess, are working with DEQ, and I don't know what's all happening with it, but it's going to settle down, and they'll either clean it up or try to walk away from the property, I think.
Okay.
So once we figure out which direction they're going to go in, if it still needs cleaned up before a business could go in, tying into the Historic Review Board's desire to update Chapter 58, which is the commercial zone there, that property doesn't fit any of our codes. Like, nothing can happen with that property to fit that neighborhood or that chapter of our code. And so they want to fix the code to address that property so that it doesn't necessarily need to be torn down.
Okay. And so as it currently stands, so when you say even if remediation happens or whatever on that property and it goes up for sale and then a new owner buys it, they can't do anything with it?
Right. Yeah. It's like level what's there and build a no setback.
Okay. So the building itself can't be used, but if something is put in place there, then it can be...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. We've had some interest of people wanting to put in a brewery there. Mm-hmm. We've had some interest in people wanting to put in a shop, in like a home goods kind of retail store, and then use the overhang for like food carts and mm-hmm. like short-term festival kind of things. But we don't have any codes that allow for any of that stuff to happen, because as soon as they need to go change the outside of the building, like they need to put new siding on it or something, then it triggers Chapter 58, and then it's like, oh, wait, you can't do anything. Oh. Okay. So they're going to fix that chapter.
But there is an opportunity to update code where the building could be used in its semi-current state once it's brought up to code and everything.
Well, they want to make some sort of like exemption or mm-hmm. special code specifically for those existing buildings. Okay. So like even those two bungalows on Main Street that are next to the cider house, there's the vacant lot that will theoretically have another building going in, and then I think it's a law office or insurance. And one of those is protected under state guidelines with the Historic Preservation Office, but the other one is not. Uh-huh. So if somebody buys it and wants to alter the exterior, they now have to do a Western Falls Front building like all the other buildings in the historic bungalow, although is contributing to the survey, is not protected. Uh-huh. So they want to fix those things.
Okay.
For the gas station, though, because we talked about this, you know, in Main Street too, but doesn't she have the option to, since she's the last property in the zone, to be just taken out of the zone?
She could do that, but then any project that goes into that or any business now has to provide parking. And as of right now, that chapter provision makes it so you don't have to provide additional
parking. That part, if you're going to review that chapter, that part should change.
It's just, we've got, three more lots left that could be developed, and then you would require parking standards to those last three lots, but they're also not all that large. Like the gas station is like probably one of the largest undeveloped ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fire station doesn't even meet that code chapter. So we're trying to address the code to fix those inconsistencies, but also get a business in there because people are just running away from the property.
Right. So if you're looking at that code too, because people ask us this all the time, is why can't it just be a parking lot? Because parking lot is not allowed in the zone.
Or a parking garage as well.
Yeah, so maybe allow it to be a parking lot too, because it could be used right now as a parking lot if it was allowed in the zone.
Yeah.
Like in its instead state, of a like parking lot, if having a small market or a business in there, I think would be preferable.
Oh, well, yeah.
Beside the concrete.
But, you know, if they don't have the money to do anything with the building because of the...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it could remain in private ownership and they could have...
But from what you're saying, if it falls in a public or private way, that there could be some funding there to help with it.
Yeah, so if you guys are interested, after the dust settles with the ownership of that property, if you guys are interested in exploring some grants to clean it up, because the state has a ton of opportunities to basically get commercial land ready for development.
I mean, I'll be honest, that's practically my backyard, so I'd love to see something happen with that property. Okay. So,
the County Economic Development Office is in the final stages of forming a Brownfield Land Bank Authority as well.
Perfect.
Which could play a role in acquisition and facilitating everything you just described.
Yeah.
So
Metro has a lot of information about that, and Business Oregon has a lot of information and resources around brownfield development and commercial development and getting everything like shovel ready for basically someone to just put a structure up.
Yeah. There's probably actually some Main Street grants we could probably go after too.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think the Land Bank Authority really only would probably play the role of being the mechanism to acquire the property, so it's under public control. Then it's eligible for a lot more of the funding opportunities that are out there. Once it's remediated, then it goes back on the market and goes under private ownership.
Is that something the city is considering, is taking it under public control?
We've talked to John Williams, our community development director, about that, and
it's something that will be discussed with council and with Eileen, but we don't know what which way they're going to fall on that. Sometimes they show a lot of interest in that property. I know Mayor Axelrod does. He's involved with a lot of those conversations with the EQ and the property owner and John Williams. And I know they want to see some stuff happen, but I don't know if they've explored any options of actually taking ownership of it. And I think the only way we could do that is if we got outside funding to do so, because we barely had funding to keep all the staff that we currently have this budget season. So it'd be nice if we could just save the day.
Well, because Main Street's talked about that we don't have any, you know, plaza type area in our district. So if the city would take it and make it like more of a plaza type area.
Wouldn't a plaza be more like in a central area rather than on the outskirts?
Not necessarily. It just needs to be a place that it's more like a park area that people could gather in and stuff like that. I don't know if it necessarily needs to be central. I know the meteorite's not going to have a place to go with this new streetscape. I don't think we've figured out where the meteorite's going.
That's true. Yeah, okay.
We could go right in the middle of the gas station property when we make it our
Because then it would help with our farmer's market issue. Like, yeah. We could put our farmer's market there and not be closing
for that
streets.
Structure? Is that a city?
The meteorite?
Sculpture? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably city-owned monument. You could call
just
it that.
Showed up one night, yeah. Black and all.
But I don't know where we're. I think we forgot about that. We talked about that when we first started the streetscape thing, and I think we totally not even thought about where it's gonna go.
Would it be missed? It could go down to Fields Bridge Park.
No, they already have one down there. Though. That's what I said too. But everyone wants to see it stay in Main Street. But I just don't know. I was like, well, can we make it a little bit like? Right now, you can't even see it. It's, like, got all those bushes in front of it. And, like, can I at least make it, like, so it's, you know, it's visible?
So I will mark up our annual report and send it out in an email to you guys. And as long as there's not a major objection, well, I'll just turn it in. And then we might be the first committee. It's kind of my thing to be the first committee to turn in one of these.
Would we talk about all our accomplishments? Or did we just say that we don't have any?
Just looking at identified. Yeah. Just looking at the 2020 goals, and then as far as 2019 accomplishments, we can say that you guys continued to work with the waterfront. You guys continued to work on this program.
Oh, yeah. And that's true. We did work on this program.
You guys created a work program for yourselves. Yeah. So that was helpful for you guys to kind of get a list of ideas flowing.
You could
something
put administration of the CPP grant.
Oh yeah, we always have that. That's really that's always a line item. It's always a line item on every report.
Take credit where you can, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, not every group has a ton of accomplishments. Like the Historic Review Board, the accomplishments are typically just we supported this area and we supported this area and we did 6 land use cases or whatever it was. So it doesn't have to be elaborate. It's only a small competition, so it'd be good.
So they're not going to dissolve us if our list isn't long enough.
If you're like 10 bullets down.
What was our challenges? Our challenges was our changing of staff.
Liaison turnovers.
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of a recap on that. Probably some attendance issues, you know, but those are
attendance issues.
Those are, you know, nominal, you know. I think I would say generally looking over the year, I mean, we were all seemingly on the same page. We didn't have, like, internal conflict within our members, so that's always positive, I feel like. So yeah, just liaison changes. Yeah, maybe because we had Darren, we had
John Morgan,
we had Chris who filled in, and then we have you. Yeah.
And we got new members as well, too.
Mm-hmm. We've had some change.
Real quick on the goals, when do we divvy up responsibility on these?
Or how does that work?
So after the annual report is approved by council, mm-hmm. then we'll have a meeting probably, I think they usually do those in January. So either the meeting in January or the first one in February, we'll divvy these up. Definitely the first meeting in January will be like election of officers. And
mm-hmm. Are you referring to this?
Though? Yeah, that.
I think this is going away.
Yeah, I would like to, that's what I was just going to say, is I'd like to actually see this go away. You know, I know we pared it down. I know we spent a lot of hours, but and it was great. But I think that maybe we just start fresh and we take these items and we just really bite in or just sink our teeth into those. And I am okay with that because there's not anything on here that is urgent, so to speak, where these feel a little bit more urgent, a little bit more tangible, a little bit more like we can really make a difference.
We can move yeah.
I feel
instead
like
of these vague.
Our biggest accomplishment, as I see it this year, is recognizing that we need to focus on the things we can actually
Yeah, we went from assess. Super vague down to a little bit more defined, a little bit more honed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would like to see. I would like to not see that again.
Cool. I can make that happen.
Okay. So, okay, good. Do you have more? Anything
nope.
else?
That was it for the report. The docket priorities were put on here just so that you guys can hear me say again that council prioritized certain requests from the various boards after they met with each board, and there's some overlap between like what the HRB is doing and what you guys are doing and what you guys are doing and what Waterfront is doing and that sort of thing, so we're going to bring you guys all together.
Excellent. Okay.
Fun.
Good.
So that means we'll have some input on that Chapter 58 stuff that it...
And Main Street.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe another joint meeting. I don't know.
Okay.
We can also do two. That's fine, too. Doesn't matter.
This is an oddly timed question, but which counselors are up for re-election this cycle? Are there any?
Terry and Rich.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah.
Just curious.
And then, I don't have any new business. I don't know if you guys do.
Yeah.
I don't have any new business.
Shannon?
Mm-hmm. No. A new business? No.
Okay. We'll just go. Any other items of interest? Anybody have anything this evening?
Well, if we're not going to have a meeting in December, I will tell you that Main Street has our historic holidays event on December 14th. So that's like the same day as the city has the parade and everything.
Okay.
We have a holiday bazaar, tree lighting and sing-along caroling and free carriage rides.
Oh, where's fun. The bazaar now that there's that home decor center in, or home
it's
design?
It's still in the church, and we're doing some outside where we do the farmer's market outside the Methodist Church, the White Church. So we're closing off that area, and we'll have some food booths out there. 9 to 4 for the bazaar.
Okay.
So there's the city does the ugly sweater race and the parade, and then Cocoa with Santa.
Okay.
In the morning, and then the bazaars all day, and then we have the tree lighting at night and the free carriage rides.
Okay, that's like a all day.
So get into the bag every single year. We have to cut the line off on the carriage rides. People get mad. We want a carriage ride.
Get in line
early.
Pre-order your ticket. Or okay, good. December 14th. Wonderful.
I did think of one thing. The county, again, is potentially looking at doing more work with entrepreneurship development throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be an opportunity for West Lynn to, I guess if budget is a major issue, then maybe not, but to contribute and effectively buy into what the Oregon Entrepreneurship Network calls the Venture Catalyst model. But basically they assign someone a geographic area, in this case it would be Clackamas County, to develop programming in the various communities in order to start conversations about entrepreneurship and sort of pull people out of the woodwork that may have business ideas or have businesses in their basement or their garage that can be scalable and turn into actual economic drivers.
Mm.
So it would be countywide programming, but they'll likely be looking to the constituent communities to financially contribute to that if they want. It's like a pay-to-play type deal.
Oh, uh-huh.
So if Westland wants to be in on that and have programming in Westland, like a pub talk at the Cider House that's geared toward entrepreneurship,
okay.
Then there's like I said, pay-to-play. So this, we may need to think about contributing towards that. But it's all sort of nascent right now. Who knows, may not even materialize in the next year. All but
right.
Anyway, an economic development-related topic.
Does anyone else have anything? I just wanted to circle back. Last month, we had the conversation of the trial of parking the back end versus pulling it in forward. There was conversation that it was not moving forward. I circled back to Lance and conferred. That is still on the table. That is still open. So if you feel strongly about backing in or strongly about pulling forward or however, there will be, as things move along toward the construction, this will still be a viable option to have this trial because, you know, the public gets nervous when new things are implemented. And so the consensus was to have this kind of trial weekend of parking that will be announced and to see, is this something that's good for the city? If it's not good for the city, it's been back and forth. So just keep your eyes open for that. If you do feel strongly about it, it's probably a good opportunity for you to voice your opinion.
When are they breaking ground on the kind of street redesign?
January 2nd. Like they're breaking
right
ground as soon as they can, like in the, after the new year.
But like those,
there's no design finalized.
There is the design final. It's
the
actually
design's final, but the parking.
The parking is just striping.
It is.
It could go either way.
It could, and so.
Okay.
So Lance said is up until the point that they're actually going to put paint on the ground.
Right. Well, last week you said that they, or last month you said that they had taken them off the table, and Lance.
No,
said
that's
they
not what I said.
Not.
I said they took that. What I said
and
was taken off the tape. Icon said they would not do it.
Yeah, they. Well, Lance conferred and said they will do it if the city wants them to do it. I mean, the city isn't the one in control of this. It sounds like from Lance, so that is still a viable option. And they don't. I think it's like March that we have until.
Okay, because that's not what he presented to council. So I was just going off what he presented to council. He presented to council that Handers did not want to do a trial, and so the trial was off the table.
Okay.
At least in front of his area for now. And I did
perhaps
ask Lance.
Not,
I asked
yeah, in front of his
if
area,
someone
but
else.
It's still an option for the public to
right.
trial and error a weekend so that the public can weigh in. Does this feel good for the city? Does it not? So, or the citizens. So, just wanted to recap that. That's still on the table.
Just may or may not be in front of Handers' building.
May or may not. Exactly. Do you have anything to add? Any more business? Any more comments?
Nope. Just excited to have won.
Welcome. We're excited you're here.
Yeah.
You're staying here, right, for the year. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Until January. For the year.
And you have to fight over it again.
You're all ours.
Yeah.
Okay. The announcement of our next meeting, December 12th at 6:30, the same room.
We canceled it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I'm so sorry. Just seeing who's listening. The meeting is canceled. It's going to be January 9th, I think, is what I said. Is that what
yeah,
I said? January 9th.
Said.
6:30 in January 9th, 2020. And Jennifer, you'll let us know on the other Ascendry meeting
yes.
notes or times.
Yep.
Do we need to approve minutes since you didn't have a quorum when I was...
Do you need a quorum to do it?
Fun fact.
Apparently we don't know. Yeah, fun
that?
Fact.
Because the that is the record. The audio is the actual meeting record. So these are just notes to help you guide your listening ability through the meeting.
Great.
And so we just needed to know if they were good to go or not.
In January or July was so far back. I think so. It's a big question mark. I think so. So... Unless anybody else has anything else to add, I will go ahead and adjourn this. It is 7:51, and the meeting adjourned.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Hey,